KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06 here this morning, we have mostly cloudy skies, temperature at 46 degrees. We did pick up 16/100ths of an inch of rainfall yesterday here at the KJN studios. We look today for cloudy skies, some scattered light rain, and a high of 53. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in-state and local news on KJAN. The driver of a motorcycle was injured in a collision with the back of an SUV on Friday evening in Council Bluffs. The Council Bluffs Police Department responded to the accident at 5:32 p.m. at the intersection of 7th Street and Canesville. Preliminary investigation showed the SUV was stopped at a red traffic light when the motorcycle ran into the rear of it. The motorcycle was taken to UNMC with serious injuries. He was not wearing a helmet at the time of the accident, and the name of the injured man is being withheld pending notification of family about the accident. The driver of the SUV was not injured, and his vehicle was driven away from the scene. The Union County Sheriff's Office released more details on how a Creston man was apprehended on Thursday afternoon. 23-year-old Jameson Chase Cox of Creston was arrested after attempting to elude law enforcement. Cox was speeding away from officers in a 2001 Chrysler Sebring and attempted to make a turn at North Oak and West Townline Streets in Creston. He was traveling too fast to make the turn, lost control, and ran into the front brick pillar of a home at 303 West Townline Street. Cox then attempted to flee on foot but was captured a short time later by a Union County deputy. Nobody was injured as a result of the crash, and damage to the brick on the home was estimated at $3,000. The vehicle sustained $2,500 disabling damage. Cox was arrested for eluding and later charged by Creston police for OWI first offense. A permanent memorial dedicated to fallen police officers will be built in Des Moines. The Register reports the memorial will be dedicated to the 24 officers who've died in the line of duty, including officers Susan Farrell and Carlos Puente Morales, who were killed in March of 2016 when a drunken wrong-way driver crashed into their patrol car on Interstate 80. On Monday, the City Council approved a $101,529 construction contract to build the structure outside the downtown police station. The project will be funded in part by donations. The police department's GoFundMe page has received $51,500 in donations for the project, and Prairie Meadows Casino and Hotel has awarded it $10,000 for the effort. The Page County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest of a Gravity woman after a traffic stop on Thursday evening. At approximately 9:21 p.m., the Page County Sheriff's Office initiated a traffic stop on a 2002 Mazda in the 1600 block of Highway 2 for a traffic violation. That's approximately 4 miles east of Shenandoah. During the stop, the driver, 27-year-old Danielle Renee Bammer of Gravity, was arrested for driving under suspension. Bammer was taken to the Page County Jail and booked in and was unable to post the $566.25 bond. Fremont County Sheriff's Office Canine Roby has received a bullet and stab protective vest thanks to a charitable donation from nonprofit organization Vested Interest in Canines Incorporated. The vest was embroidered with the sentiment and memory of Canine Ty, California City Police Department. Vested Interest in Canines Incorporated is a 501c3 charity located in East Taunton, Massachusetts, whose mission is to provide bullet and stab protective vests and other assistance to dogs of law enforcement and related agencies through the U.S. The program is open to dogs actively employed in the U.S. with law enforcement or related agencies who are certified and at least 20 months of age. New canine graduates, as well as canines with expired vests, are eligible to participate. Canine Roby is a 3-year-old Belgian Malinois German Shepherd mix, certified in patrol and narcotics detection. Canine Roby has been with the department since December of 2016 and is assigned to Deputy Andrew Wake, who has been with the Fremont County Sheriff's Office since 2010 and a canine handler since 2014. The Iowa Finance Authority has fired its lobbyist after an investigation alleged he failed to report sexual misconduct by its former director. A lawyer representing Wes Peterson confirmed his client was terminated Thursday. Peterson had served as the authority's director of government relations since 2011. Attorney Patrick White says Peterson has been treated unfairly and it was wrong for him to be terminated. The move came 1 week after the release of an investigation into misconduct by former authority director Dave Jamison. The report portrayed Peterson as a, quote, sidekick who often joined Jamison at Des Moines bars. The report said Peterson witnessed Jamison grabbing a co-worker's breast at a bar in 2016, but didn't report it. The report says Peterson yelled at the woman, demanding to know whether she'd filed a complaint with Governor Kim Reynolds after Jamison was fired in March. White said there were inaccuracies in the report but declined to elaborate. An official who failed to report sexual misconduct by her powerful boss says she stayed quiet because she feared retaliation and didn't want to share her experience as one of his victims. Tara Lawrence, director of the Iowa Title Guarantee Program, said she suffered very uncomfortable harassment by former Iowa Finance Authority Director Dave Jamison. She told the AP that Jamison showed her photographs of nude women, commented on her body, and quizzed her about her sex life during meetings and work trips. Lawrence criticized Governor Kim Reynolds for commissioning a report that says she portrays her as an enabler of Jamison, one of the governor's longtime friends and advisors, instead of a victim. And she said, "My name has been run through the mud and I've been used as a pawn," she said, tearing up as she became the first Jamison accuser to speak publicly. She noted she's a Republican who supports Reynolds' campaign and went to law school with Lieutenant Governor Adam Gregg. She said, "I support them, but I don't support what's being done to me. I'm not out to get the governor, but I don't think this is fair." An investigation by a Des Moines law firm concluded that Lawrence and Finance Authority lobbyist Wes Peterson were aware of egregious wrongdoing by Jamison, including a December 2016 incident in which he grabbed a coworker's breast in front of them at a bar. The report concluded the two failed to report the assault and noted that Lawrence declined to speak with investigators who found Jamison had harassed at least three other subordinates to different degrees. Peterson was terminated Thursday, while Lawrence said she learned she will stay in her job without discipline. Peterson's attorney, Patrick White, said the reports contain unspecified inaccuracies, as we just said. Lawrence said nobody reported Jamison because his relationship with the governor made him seem untouchable politically and able to get things done. A group of Iowa residents wants a state court to force a roadside zoo to get rid of its animals. The residents filed a lawsuit Thursday in Delaware County against Pam and Todd Selner, who own Cricket Hollow Animal Park just west of Manchester. It alleges several cases of animal neglect, including keeping animals in cramped, unsanitary cases without access to water and failing to obtain veterinary care. In 2016, a court ruled the zoo had violated the Endangered Species Act, and a federal appeals court upheld the ruling this past April. Pam Selner told the Telegraph Herald she couldn't address the new allegations, but said there's no reason for any of it. And the Union County Sheriff's Office reports that on Wednesday morning at 7:24 a.m., Henningsen construction officials reported the theft of a trailer. Sometime overnight, someone took a 2007 CM enclosed trailer that was parked at the corner of Creamery Road and REA Road. The trailer and its contents were valued at $17,500. That's a look at the latest in news. Now taking a look at funeral announcements. Janet Fink, age 67, of Harlan, died Saturday at Methodist Jenny Emmetson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Graveside services for Janet Fink will be held today at 10 a.m. at the Harlan Cemetery. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Arliss Mae Butler, age 85, of Guthrie Center, died September 12th at the Guthrie County Hospital. Memorial services for Arliss Mae Butler will be held today at 10 a.m. at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Paul Hines, age 89, of Dexter, died September 20th at Adele Acres. A massive Christian burial for Paul Hines will be held today at 10 a.m. at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Jerry Reed, age 89, of Greenfield, died Wednesday at the VA Central Iowa Healthcare System in Des Moines. Funeral services for Jerry Reed will be held today at 10 a.m. at the Greenfield Gospel Chapel. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Trina Chintz, age 90, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Celebration of Life services for Trina Chintz will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the First United Presbyterian Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has the arrangements. Roy Jorgensen, age 81, of Audubon, died Tuesday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for Roy Jorgensen will be held on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Kimbleton. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has the arrangements. Evelyn O. May, age 100, of Audubon, died Monday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Evelyn May will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Lester L. Williamson, age 99, of Audubon, died Tuesday at the Exira Care Center in Exira. Funeral services for Lester L. Williamson will be held on Saturday at 2 p.m. at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon here today. Rudy Moses, age 21, of Atlantic, died September 5th at the Cass County Memorial Hospital from injuries suffered in a bicycle accident. A massive Christian burial for Rudy Moses will be held on Monday at 10 a.m. at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Harry J. Frederickson, age 77, of rural Linden, died Monday at his home. Funeral services for Harry Frederickson will be held on Monday at 10:30 a.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Raymond W. Anderson, age 94, of Harlan, died Thursday at the Little Flower Haven in Erling. Funeral services for Raymond Anderson will be held on Monday at 11 a.m. at Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. John Schmidt, age 74, of Griswold, formerly of Atlantic, died Friday at the Griswold Care Center. A celebration of life for John Schmidt will be held Monday at 11 a.m. at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic is in charge of arrangements. Billy Meister, age 68, of Manning, died September 12th at the VA Hospital in Des Moines. A memorial service for Billy Meister will be held Monday at 1 p.m. at the United Methodist Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. And Richard Leland Thomas, age 79, of Guthrie Center, died September 14th at his home in Guthrie Center. Memorial services for Richard Leland Thomas will be held on Saturday, October 6th at 10:30 a.m. at the Fairview Congregational Church in Stewart. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.